To 9, Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., is now in the house. Nice to see you again, Gavin.
Yeah, good to be back. That week went quickly.
such as it is, three-day weeks are becoming a bit of a problem in my life, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're all going to get used to it. You know? Get used to the idea of a five-day week for the first time in a month.
Oh, it feels like an interminable. We're only halfway through. We should be finished. But let's get on to the subject of the day. And, well, there have been quite a few interesting things in trend. And as you walked in, you said, well, interestingly, the property market locally seems to have picked up quite considerably, which is good news.
Yeah, we've seen some good high-value transactions in the last 2 weeks. And it's that old thing again, you know, where South Africans get a bit of economic constipation because of all the bad news, and then they don't spend and they hold on to their money. And it's basically, I think what we're seeing again is just deferred spending. You know, people were going to do things, make decisions, buy properties, sell property. And, you know, for a while everybody had that economic constipation and nobody could go. And now everybody's going at once. So, it sort of comes in blobs. I see the last couple of years that, there's a lot of activity and then it goes quiet and then there's a lot again. So, yeah, I suppose it's just the normal cyclical nature of any kind of business. But it seems particularly pronounced lately, you know, because the bad news has that constricting effect, and then everybody realizes, well, you got to get on with life, you got to transact, and you got to go. You know, not everything is.
When you look at the options, and looking at South Africa in general, there are some obviously more attractive propositions to relocate your home or your investments or your general interest to. And the Western Cape has been for a long time a very stellar attraction, if you like. Mm-hmm. People wanting a better life or a more secure environment in which to operate. And that's, in a sense, created its own problems because it's just too busy now. It's too full. It's too packed. Yeah. It's too expensive.
Well, I mean, if you want to look at it, from 1,000 feet up, I'm trying to remember who said it recently, but you know, we kind of have direct foreign investment in this country at levels of about 15%. That's why our growth is pegged around 1%. You know, where other emerging economies like ours are all sort of 5% or more. And one surefire way to ensure that we grow, because nobody's talking about economic growth in government, but the one surefire way to get the growth almost for free is to bring up that direct foreign investment to levels of like 40%. Okay, how do you do that? Well, you certainly don't do it by sending a message to the rest of the world that if you do invest here, our government might expropriate whatever you're doing without compensating you. So you go, well, firstly, that's not the sort of place you put your money in, because the state, as soon as you do well, might steal it. Or expropriated in inverted commas, but if they're not compensating, they're simply stealing it. We saw that how that had an effect in Zimbabwe, you know, where they started invading farms and driving farmers off their land and taking their land without compensating them. And what happened to foreign investment in Zimbabwe? It completely stopped. Okay, well, when it stopped, they couldn't repay IMF and World Bank and Chinese loans, and their economy went into free fall, and they lost their currency. Okay, so that's one impediment that the government has put in the way of direct foreign investment. The other is the government interfering in how you run your business with BEE laws. You know, telling you if you're over 50 people, you have to employ certain people, you have to have equity stakes given to people that you're not in business with and don't know. And so that's also unattractive. So, you know, government has been putting up all these hurdles to foreign investment, making it unattractive, and then wondering why our employment rates are in free fall, and wondering why our economy can't grow. And that's the one thing we desperately need.
Well, you know, you talk about government, and that's a very generic term across the board for, powerful incompetence at its best. We were in conversation, or Penny Faree was in conversation earlier with Stembe Sodlamini, who is the provincial chairperson of the Municipal Workers Union. Okay. Those who have decided that it's a good idea to come out on strike or go out on strike. With an it doesn't have an end date to it, so this thing can go on for a while. Apparently there's 700 municipal workers striking at the moment. No one really knows what they're striking about. Well,
it's always, to me, it's amazing. I mean, our economy gets mismanaged at local, provincial, and national level. And then the very same people who don't give us the service that we need, and the very same people who've got their hands in the bloody trough, are the ones who every year get a nice raise. And ordinary South Africans who every year see our inflation erode our value of our rand and our exchange rate goes south, we don't get those raises every year. You know, it's very difficult for businesses to give anything remotely in line with what government gives themselves. And, you know, we need to have a good hard look. I mean, government needs to be shrunk for obvious reasons. I think if you add our local municipal debt to our national debt, we're at 95% of our GDP. That is outrageous for a country like ours. They must strike. I suppose they must strike for whatever their reasons are. But I must say they're in sheltered employment. They get their raises every year, and the rest of us pay for it.
Well, that's the point. You know, the question was asked, do you think it's fair that you come into an environment where the ratepayers, those who are expected to foot the bill for this increase in inverted commas, because ultimately that's what they are looking at. It's not a
it
direct...
It can only be that.
They're looking at having their pay grades increased one level, not necessarily the quantum at this point in time, but the grading. And it's not within the scope and ambit of the local municipality to up the grading. It's a national thing. So I can't see the point of coming out on strike here in Ballito. I equally can't see the point in terms of tone deafness of coming out at this juncture where we've had no service delivery on the electricity front for a while, well, relatively speaking. Yesterday there were outages all over the place, and they said, well, unfortunately, the electricians are mostly on strike, and we're trying our best to bring in contractors.
As usual, government is the only place where you can get a promotion for doing a bad job. We're doing a bad job. We want to upgrade our pay grades, and we're going to get this. It's actually just a promotion for doing a lousy job.
But it's so, and you as a legal man would understand better than I, a mere layman, looking at this thing, saying it cannot be that we have boxed ourselves into a situation where the goose that is laying the golden egg is being strangled and abused and
plucked and
starved. And it has no recourse to withhold the golden eggs. How is that possible? Because the goose can stop laying.
Everyone who pays rates in this town has seen our rates just go up and up and up every year. I mean, it's exorbitant at the moment. If you look at what each of us pay in rates and what we get in return, we don't get 10% of that in value. So.
But now, I see there's a move afoot among certain irate rate payers to say, listen, why can't we form a committee to manage an account that rates are paid into and held in trust until such time as services are delivered, there's a kind of bogeymen on the outskirts of the saying, if you do that, you will be breaking the law, and the consequences will be dire.
Well, it has been done successfully before, but that was where a municipality completely failed, and it had gone basically bankrupt. And the ratepayers were saying, well, we're not going to get anything for our rates because it's basically just going to pay historical debt. So the municipality cannot perform. But, you know, our municipality on paper can perform, firstly. Secondly, you're probably going to have penalty interest on these rates in any event, and you're going to go, as a ratepayer, get yourself into a worse situation. Because at some stage you're going to want to sell your property and you're going to need a rates clearance certificate from the municipality, and they're going to have added on these penalties and interest over the years that you weren't paying the rates, and you're probably going to shoot yourself in the foot. And so, as usual, the ratepayer will be shot in the foot. But this has to be, the change has to come at a political level And I think it's underway. You know, I think it's underway. And I think I'm hearing more and more people on the streets just saying, wow, man, how did we get here? Of all races. And maybe we need to change the way we do things and the way we think. And
well, that would be something to hang on to. And you at the moment are very bullish about the notion of change, which I think is refreshing.
I think everybody can see the emperor's got no clothes. I can see that after 30 years, people have gone, well, you know, what has up until recently the ANC government and the government even of the day, you know, what have they done to change our trajectory? I mean, since about 2008, we just started going south, and there's no indication that we're turning it around. You know, I mean, this latest raft of stupid legislation that alienates the business community and foreign investment is just another example of, well, we're just going to aim this plane at the ground. And I think people can see the emperor has no clothes, and I think people want change, and they want, you know, we need people who've got economic sensibility in power. You know, our ministers of trade and industry have been for the last 30 years one communist after another. You know, that's not how you get trade and industry going. That's how you deindustrialize your country, which is precisely what we've done. So I think change is coming. I've got great admiration for some of these people that have been in the trenches for the last 30 years, people like Helen Ziller, that have just stuck to task. And, you know, over time, they have made great inroads. And they are in the ascendancy in the polls. And hopefully people... Look, you know what's happening at the moment? You can just see it. It's the old playbook of the ANC. They're going, well, you know... have a look at the TRC guys who should have been charged 30 years ago. Why has that not happened? Well, okay, well, 30 years has gone past. Most of those people are probably dead, and there's not much you can do about it now. They should have been prosecuted because they did some heinous stuff, but, you know, most of them are dead, and the witnesses are gone, and, you know. What we need to do is the land issue is a big issue, or, you know... It's America are bad guys, and you know it's all diversion from the fact that we should all be asking ourselves one fundamental question: why did our economy not grow since 2008? Okay, because that's a disaster. But nobody wants to ask that question or look at why, you know, why have our SOEs all failed? You know. Why, after the Zondo Commission, was nobody prosecuted? Not only that, but the very people who were fingered in the Zondo Commission as being culprits are in government. You know, so I mean, those are the questions we should be asking. Don't worry about the rest. You know, if you think government is the answer to anything, remember when government gives you everything, like all the people that are on grants, government can also take it away. And we'll have to take it away when we fail financially because there won't be money for it. So, you know, we South Africans have to think about being independent of government and stop looking to government for anything. You know, if you think government's going to help or run anything properly, then you, where have you been the last 30 years? Everything they've done has been a disaster. Every business that they've taken over that was historically profitable has been run into the ground, whether it's the post office, SAA, Eskom. You know, so it's... That is not the answer for South Africans. South Africans have to be weaned from the government and become independent. You know, this story...
Which is what has been proposed by these folks saying, let's now take our municipality over and do it ourselves. But the law says you can't.
Well, I'm just saying that is not, to me... Look, you don't want to try and resolve a problem by creating a further one. And so I know everybody's... I'm also irate. I also can see what goes off my banking account into the rates department every month. And I know that none of it is going to be spent well. You have to change the system. You can't fight the system because the system is bigger than us. You know, so you have to change it. And how do you change it? Well, you start voting sensibly, you know. I think one thing that's become rather obvious to everyone with this with our politics at the moment is the petty parties are overrepresented. They're troublesome and loudmouthed, and we should get behind a single opposition. and I've never been a great DA fan because I've felt like for 30 years they weren't much of an opposition. But I must say, you know, looking at them now, maybe that's what we should do, is invest in a single strong party that can change things. Preferably a party that's pro-business, that has economic sense, and will lead us into a different trajectory where at least we can start seeing some economic growth, because that's the answer. And everybody knew it. Right in 1994, we knew that the only way that we were going to meet the aspirations of people who were newly free was by growing the economy and giving them a future, and giving their children a future, and giving them opportunities. Not by handouts, not by sending them a check every month, because that doesn't help. All you're doing then is you're making poverty slightly more comfortable so people don't move out of it.
Wow. Mm. Good points to pause and pick up the conversation in a week's time with Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law. On the positive side, the local property market seems to be booming, and Gavin is right at the cutting edge with doing transfers. If you need a good attorney in your corner when it comes to matters, property or any other matter for that matter, lots of matters happening on the edge. Gavin Steinhobel will be back next week. But as I say, in the interim, if you need an attorney, go and have a chat with Gavin down at Kloppers. Thanks, Gav. Catch up in a week's time.
Good to speak to you.